Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. A lot of death in, out of one of the 2000, I mean, you know, it's those weird statistical anomalies that you just sort of notice. It's probably no more, there's probably nothing really to it, but it certainly feels like there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, where are you on this?
Death happening all the time? Yeah, that happens all the time.
But important people are dying.
Yeah, no, people are dying. People are dying.
Well, again, our number is 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842, toll-free nationwide. That's our voicemail number. Joining me for the first time in a while is Bridget. How are you, Bridget?
I'm good. Happy to be back.
Yes, and yes. And Becca, how are you?
A little on the sleepy side, but I'm okay.
Fantastic. It's supposed to be a holiday, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Something about love for some people, you know.
It's a Hallmark day.
Yes.
It's old history day. It's love and death. Here we go. A man was killed in what appears to be an attempted suicide bombing on an airliner in Somalia. Abdullahi Abdislam Porle, believed to have purposely detonated a bomb concealed in a laptop on a Dalo Airlines flight out of Mogadishu. The blast blew a hole in the fuselage of the plane, which sucked up Porle's body. Two other passengers were hurt, but the pilot made an emergency landing and nobody else was killed. Authorities believe that security officers at the airport helped Porle smuggle the bomb on board. Al-Shabaab, a terrorist organization with ties to Al-Qaeda, is believed to be behind the attack.
Yeah, sort of a self-solving problem right there.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want people to infiltrate Al-Qaeda and start training people to do it exactly this way,
yeah.
I'm not meaning that at all.
Right, but, I mean, it's not a perfect solution, because he did hurt two people.
And he got a bomb on a plane.
And he got a bomb on a plane, which is generally not a good thing.
When you're being helped by security, that's sort of an easy thing to do, which is sort of terrifying.
Yeah,
like, these people that are hired for security, and they're actually...
Well, that's been the concern, is that there's that Al-Shabaab is trying to get people stationed in airports and other infrastructural places
and
to make it easier to
like
get in.
They're succeeding, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
And terrifying.
And you know, sometimes it works, like it did today or this time. And sometimes it doesn't work, and then you get
This man detonated a bomb on a plane, and probably at the statistics on that, you know, how many bombs have been detonated on planes without the plane going down? Clearly this time it panned out, but that's terrifying.
Dare we call this some sort of triumph of engineering or something like that? These planes are pretty fantastic.
Right?
I am amazed that it was able to land with a giant hole in its fuselage. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well,
it made me feel way better about turbulence.
Also, why do we keep using everybody's full name when they kill a bunch of people? Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
Or at least one very important person?
Maybe to distinguish them from all the other people with that name, so that they don't have to...
Wow. An actual good reason.
Yeah,
thank you.
Go.
Yeah.
It was... My husband's name is Brian... was Brian Mitchell. That's why we changed it. If you Google Brian Mitchell, that guy kidnapped Elizabeth Smart. And he was just like, Google Brian Mitchell. See how that goes.
Now we're
Vitzmans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not a lot of people. Well, actually, there are an increasingly large the number of people with my name, oddly enough. Like, for a long time, I was the only other person with my name on the internet was my dad. And now there's some, like, kids in the UK or something. Oh, I imagine they're in their 20s now.
Yeah.
And now I'm beginning to understand what that's like. I just hope they don't murder anybody.
Right. If you Google yourself and you're like, Sam Mulvey murdered... Ruining my name.
More than I already have, I think, is the way we
have
to look at it.
They look it up and they're like, ask an atheist?
But this guy killed no one, and I'm glad he's dead. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to another interesting story.
Do we get to talk about it?
Yeah, I think we need to.
Yeah.
So we are short a Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
Ironic that his prefix is justice, because
he denied so many.
Yeah. Not really good at the whole justice thing.
Not very good at that.
And it's very strange because. He was my example that one can be degreed and well educated and well studied and can use a really nice, a really cool vocabulary, and still be kind of a moron.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I don't.
Your thinking is flawed.
It's not in your education. You're the problem.
And we were talking during pre-show just like how much power he had and how he used that in such a negative way.
Right, no. Right. He rose to a position where he literally had power for, how long was he in the seat? Wasn't he the longest standing?
Something like that. It was a long time.
Since 86.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, okay, so he spent 30 years making life less pleasant for many, many people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, how many people get to do that with their power?
Yeah.
It's just sad. And so, you know, the question is, what is the humanist perspective on this? Well, what are we allowed to say here? Are we allowed to be happy that he's gone? And I think we're allowed to be happy that he's out of power. I think that we get to champion our banners and be like, yes, he's out of power. But the death thing,
we can still find empathy for his family and people who loved him. But for the overall,
I can't.
I can find empathy in the fact that he never overcame whatever it was that made him that bad. Like the fact that he spent his entire...
Doesn't have to be anything.
He got affected and never recovered. He was not born that way. Nobody's born that way. I don't believe that they are. I think that they get affected to the point that they have broken brains and they are not thinking properly anymore, and it's whether or not you ever recover from that. And I don't think that he did.
I don't know that I'm gonna. Yeah, I don't know that I want to. That's a long conversation, and I am hardly in a professional position to make that kind of judgment. But I think that this is an interesting question that we have every time this happens, and it will continue.
You mean
to happen.
A bad person dies?
Well, yeah, a bad person dies. That the community as a whole says is that we've got a population of people, including myself, who is glad that that person is no longer allowed to cause pain anymore.
Yeah.
And then you've got a bunch of other people who generally I stand with on a great many things, who say that this is not the humanist position to take. This is, you know, I'm not going to do that, et cetera, et cetera.
I think it's really just two different things. I think they're two different conversations. One is power and one is life. And that might be it. Because had he just no longer been at the bench, I would have called it, the win.
Right. Unfortunately, the death is the only way he could get out of that job without retiring.
So crazy.
He made it very clear that retiring wasn't going to be on the menu.
Yeah.
Right, because he's bad.
And so he would always, you know, we can talk about his stances on abortion, where he basically, the stance was women don't have a right to it, and questions about control over body. And then he said that, you know, he was consistently against laws that discriminated on race, creed, or gender, except when he decided it no longer except when he wasn't. I mean, not every ruling this guy made was terrible. He made some okay ones. But the other side of that is we're talking about a guy who went to, I think it was a funeral, dressed up as a 15th century scholar, which makes it very clear where he thought he was getting his morality from. And the kind of rulings that he would make and where his thoughts were coming from. And I'd like to point out that that was a time before the framers of the Constitution, which I always found a little puzzling.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. He's not talking about, you know, he's not talking about Hume. He's not talking about the Polish legal scholars. He's talking, you know, some of the people who led to the thinking behind the Constitution. He's going to, like, Cromwell-type stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you looked into the history of Cromwell. Not that great.
No.
They brought the king back. Come on. That's, you know. Anyway, I could go on. And there's going to be some other history nerd, or an actual history nerd, because I'm not actually a history nerd, who's going to correct me on nearly everything I said.
That's great. Send us an email.
Send us an email.
Please, I beg you.
Leave us a voicemail. Yeah.
We will read it.
Questions at askanatheist.tv, 844-SKEPTIC. Give us a call. Tell me how wrong I am. For me, it's not just having bad ideas, because everybody has bad ideas. I got a load of them.
I got plenty of bad ideas.
For me, the reason why I'm glad he's dead, and I'm glad he's dead and not merely retired, is because this was a person with very destructive ideas and power.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where I have a lot of trouble communicating with people is on this one is. It's not that he was defending, he felt he was defending a way of life, or that he was defending, no, he actually said basically to the effect, I can't chapter and verse you on that one, haha, but,
he was definitely the most conservative.
He was the most conservative.
And so it's an ideology that he is protecting, for sure.
But it wasn't, he was defending an ideology against human beings.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's, I don't care, like, it's always been long been something I've said, is like, yes, of course, I have an evangelically atheist show, whatever, call it what you like. I'm evangelist, but what I've been trying to evangelize is that we should be allowed to partake in the same sort of society that religious people do. That it's never been, you should become an atheist. Now, if you want to have that conversation, I'm willing to have it. But this isn't my platform for
it. Yeah, you know, Faisal, I never remember, is it Faisal? Faisal?
I think it's Faisal.
He once said, you know, if you're ethical, then I love you. And I really like that. I'm like, yeah, I'll champion that.
Yeah.
If you're ethical, then I love you. But, you don't have to be an atheist, but hey.
Yeah, I don't want, Christopher Hitchens, if we're on the quote, said that if he had the opportunity to convert the last religious person away from religion, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I kind of have come across, you know, come to the same kind of thinking, is I don't really feel it's like my responsibility to stamp religion out. And it would be really nice if a lot of these religious people would come away with the same idea.
Yeah,
because it's like, yeah, people who just want to get married, and clearly the evidence is in now. All of you who thought that this would immediately lead to dogs and cats getting married in space and Christian slavery and whatever.
That would be an excellent YouTube video.
That sounds
video.
Like a good weekend to
it
me.
Does,
like...
It does. But but as it turns out, the people who wanted marriage equality wanted exactly that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so at that point, Antonin Scalia was defending an ideology against people's happiness.
Yep.
And I will never, if I ever become that guy, kill me. All right.
Done and done.
Thanks.
Yeah. We've got it on record.
Yep. Yeah.
We've got that noted.
But the thing is that there are still people in the world who loved Scalia. He had family, he had friends, and we can still empathize. Like, we've all experienced loss.
You know,
and even though as a whole, I'm really happy that he's dead, I still understand what his family and his friends and his loved ones are going through, and I can sort of say, I'm sorry for your loss in a very honest way, but still at the same time I'm singing the Wizard of Oz song, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, in my head. Like,
yeah, you know, I was reading an article about him, and it was talking about how he was with his friends and how he was known as this, like, jokester and everything. And, like, there's a part of me that kept thinking, Hitler was a painter.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I had a, you know, he's clearly not Hitler. I'm not, no. But I kept walking away with that feeling inside of just like, you know, everyone can joke around, that doesn't make them not terrible people, you know, who hurt a lot of people and made them very unhappy. Clearly, I'm not saying that he's Hitler.
No.
But I'm saying that, you know, these redeeming qualities of the way that he was doesn't change it for me.
Yeah.
Although I do still feel empathy for people who, you know, will miss him.
Yeah.
Because they're hurting.
Do we know that? I mean, I've been around some pretty nasty people who are now, fortunately, no longer among the living. And
you know, it was a CNN article, so it could just mean nothing.
Yeah,
like
usually,
saying, "Oh, he was really nice to his friends."
I wonder if I should feel pity for them, or should I say to them they're free?
Yeah,
because for a few people who are no longer in my life, that was the feeling even among the folks who loved them when the time finally came.
For someone who can maintain that level of ideology, I'm assuming that he surrounded himself with evangelical Christians.
Yeah.
One would hope. But I don't know how I would respond to the family, but I know how he responded to people who were unlawfully detained.
Yes.
In Guantanamo for a bunch of years, which is something that we should talk about and Ask an Atheist, because it's human rights. I mean, that's a humanism, yeah. humanistic thing. Is you have your right to you have a right to face things. I guess, you know, you have a right to freedom. And he decided that wasn't really what it was about.
Yeah.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. and go into a break. When we come back, maybe something more fun? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
I hate Valentine's Day.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Oh, hi, we're back. this is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And, in the last segment we were talking about how much I'm glad the Supreme Court guy is gone. I'm not the kind of guy to, I'm not going to go seek out his grave or anything like that. And that's not my way.
Oh, some people are going to do that.
Some people are going to try, but I hear he's being cremated. So,
oh, okay.
Are we sure that's what's best for his body? Can we have this conversation now?
Yeah. Somebody said something like that. Yeah. Get a bunch of women in a room and figure out what's best for its body. I think that in a nutshell has been our problem with Scalia sort of the whole way.
Yeah.
And, if you want to school me on this again, much like history, let me know. Because I have a feeling people are surprised that I'm kind of glad that he's gone. Mm. But then again, not. I did say the same thing about that Harold Camping guy.
Oh, yeah.
Once upon a... years ago. But...
walking with a little more pep in your step today, huh?
A little bit, yeah. You know what? I plan on... in my neck of the family, we don't really... bodies are not something we care about. Mm-hmm. It's like... the person when we're dead, we're gone.
Yeah.
The body was just like, it's like I don't hold a huge ceremony when I change cars.
I sort of do.
Yeah. or when a car stops being a car. But if people wanna, say do something on my grave, I'll keep my body around long enough to let people do that, and then you can cremate me. Yeah. All right. Just to keep a sense of fairness, or
right.
On there. Man, I'm morbid today. Let's do something cool.
Hey, friends, you can pose my body after I'm dead for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You got to at least do the Weekend of Bernie's thing, right?
Yes, that would be cool. Oh, I'd love that. Yes. Oh man, the South American South American. Ha ha. The South American government. What is my deal? The South Australian government is considering a proposal to end the practice of swearing on a religious text in court proceedings. South Australian Law Reform Institute suggested the proposal after the state government requested they look into the current court practices and their effectiveness. The Institute found that swearing on a Bible did little to ensure non-Christians would tell the truth. The proposal suggests that judges should give a secular oath as a question instead of a repeated statement after clarifying the consequences of breaking it. Dr. Marine Faruqi, a member of parliament, praised the proposal and suggested it be implemented nationwide.
You know, were the Christians upholding it and the non-Christians weren't?
It's like the focus is that non-Christians aren't swayed by swearing on a Bible, and it's like, are Christians?
Right.
I would like to see the evidence that have them saying this, because maybe they are. I don't know.
You know, all credit for realizing that yours is not the only religion that exists.
Right.
In Australia, where they've occasionally had problems with this.
Yes.
I'm glad that they're making a step towards making it secular so that it can include more people and everything. And the idea that it's a question instead of a repeated statement, that's nice too.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Do you swear to tell the whole truth? Like, just that, just, you know?
Yeah. I remember when I was on jury duty and we had to swear in, I was nervous because I didn't know, like, on TV you always see, you know, with the Bible and all of the
so under help God, you God,
so help us God sort of thing. And I was like, what do I do? I can't, like, ethically say that. Mm. And so I was really nervous about it. And then it wasn't ever a thing that came up in our court, which was really nice. And so I'm glad that Australia is going that same route.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because we have to, the concept here and the reason that, you know, the courts came up with this is they figured people wouldn't lie because their religion says not to or something like that. Except almost every religion kind of says it's okay in defense of your religion.
Right.
Which leads to some interesting questions when it's, you know, priests being arrested for things that they're known to do. And I think, right. Yeah, it's, I think bringing religion into the courtroom, while it's been a common concept, has some serious flaws. And I think this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like bringing religion into any aspect of the government, it's a good idea to not do it.
Separation of church and state, that's a thing.
The Institute found that swearing on a Bible did little to ensure non-Christians would tell the truth. I was like, what about, like, seriously, just non-Christians?
Just non-Christians.
Sure?
Yeah, yeah, like, were they asking people as they were leaving the courthouse, and exactly what religion are you? Like, was there a questionnaire sent out after trial?
Right.
Like,
did you lie? Did you actually lie?
Did you lie? And right. What religion are you?
Like, right. And then, did they have, like, a lie detector machine going off on
and
these people?
If they did admit to lying, how do we know they're telling the truth about what religion they are?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, I'm glad that they're moving towards a second thing.
Yeah. it's one of those weird vestigial organs that law and government picks up as it goes from patently unfair and totally about social control to something a little bit more cool.
You know, what would be funny is if the question that they were asking everybody was like, whenever you were sworn in, did it mean anything to you that you did it on a Bible?
That's a good question. That'd be a good way to phrase it, because it doesn't have the implied. It hasn't the, like, are you religious or
did you
are
lie
you
or are anything? You a liar? It's like, was it right? It's just, was that part meaningful? And they're like, no. Are you religious? No.
Ah, oh, boy. Well. A Muslim women's group has written to political leaders in the UK claiming that Muslim men in the Labour Party are blocking their access to political office. Muslim Women's Network UK sent letters to Prime Minister David Cameron and Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn, asking they investigate systematic misogyny displayed by significant members of Muslim male local councillors. A number of women claim they've been subject to smear campaigns, with men spreading rumors of infidelity and intimidating family members. Jean Cote, a Labour Party member, said that the women were blocked from positions in places with a high Muslim population, and the members higher up in the party were kept unaware.
You don't say.
Really?
A religion that
diminishes women... Diminishes women.
Yeah.
Headline.
Like, allow me to register my lack of surprise.
But I'm glad that they're getting this information out there and trying to get support, because they are in a country that would support them if they knew.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
A more secular nation suddenly They have these rights.
Have a voice. They have a voice, and they can actually use it.
And oddly enough, they want it. It's all of this. Nah, they don't need it. They don't care about it. Saudi Arabia goes on about seems to go away when you get into a country where they can actually talk.
And they get a headline that says, "Hey, misogyny, right over here, guys."
Yeah,
I love it. It's a victory for everybody. The Muslim community in the UK gets to keep its women down, and then the UKIP folks can say, "Oh my God." And they can continue keeping women down in their own with their own religious weirdness. And it's like, I give up. I give up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's getting said. This is the kind of thing that this is the kind of thing that I think the UK might handle better than certain more local nations might. Can I just put that out there?
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, they're going through their own thing, too. So.
True that.
Yeah.
A professor who was suspended from Wheaton College for wearing a hijab and saying that Christianity and Islam worship the same God has decided to leave the school. Professor Larisha Hawkins was placed on administrative leave because of her statement raised significant theological questions and was not in keeping with the school's statement of faith that all teachers must sign. Provost Dan Jones had rescinded his call for the firing of Hawkins and asked for her forgiveness. President Philip Ryken, however, announced in a school-wide email that after coming to a place of resolution and reconciliation, Wheaton College and Hawkins would part ways. I think I've said this before. Wheaton College is back in my old stomping grounds in the Chicago suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
They were known for being kind of weird.
So you said that you read the statement of faith.
I did read the statement of faith.
What is in it?
A lot of rules, like...
I would assume that they say a lot about Christianity.
Yeah, it's only Christianity,
right?
And any references to religion have to be couched in the frame of Christianity, like
right. Because whenever I read this, I'm like, know what? She's trying to bring people together and bash down a wall of hatred, and that might be in a statement of faith if you're talking about love and God and everything. And it's like no, not the statement of
not
faith.
This
one is no walls.
Yeah,
lots of walls.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the evangelical community, Wheaton has sort of a reputation of being an intellectual school. It has a very good reputation in that community, which was surprising to me when I ran into people who were like, wait, that place? A place that's keeping Wheaton dry for, like, no reason? That's strange. And so it's known for being kind of intellectual, sort of a Harvard of the religious community, if you will. And I just find it strange that it is against the statement of faith and the concepts of the college, an intellectual college, mind you, that her raising significant theological questions at a Bible college is against their statement of faith.
Yes.
Weren't we just talking about how you could be well-educated and...
quite.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, can't have people asking too many questions.
Yeah, and
that's an important thing.
I think, like, in reading the statement of faith, like, if she had couched it in a way that was sort of more pro-Christianity...
Oh, we don't worship the same God. They worship our God. And they just don't realize it.
Then maybe it wouldn't have been so bad, but the fact that she was making them equal in stature is probably what the problem was. But that being said, I'm not surprised that she chose to leave, because if you're going to be treated with that sort of intolerance, I wouldn't want to stay there either.
Yeah, and the whole thing about asking for forgiveness, I cannot say for certain, but in this particular, in the branch of Christianity they're a member of, that's sort of pro forma.
Yeah.
You're expected to do that after you have a fight.
Right.
And so I don't know that is necessarily meaningful.
No. I didn't read it as
being
meaningful.
No, I saw that Star Trek episode the other day.
I wouldn't know. Oh, boy. That's a... I would have liked to have been there. I'd like to have seen that.
Just been a fly on the wall.
Yeah, just that conversation, how that was accepted.
Right.
Also, maybe we should call the Jews and see what they have to say about this worshiping the same God business. I seem to recall certain things being said.
Maybe.
A study using census data and mathematical models suggests that religion could be going extinct in nine nations. The study, whose findings were reported at a meeting of the American Physical Society in Dallas, uses nonlinear dynamics, which is a way to study phenomena with many different factors involved. A similar study showed which languages were falling into disuse because of cultural forces. The group behind the study insists the findings are preliminary and are looking for methods of improving the model. However, one member told journalists that it was a suggestive result. So the countries mentioned by the study are Australia, Austria, Canada, the Czech Republic, Finland, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Switzerland. Not a surprising list from the media, except for that Ireland thing in the middle
of
there.
What?
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise.
Extinct is a silly word to use. I mean, there'll always be like a couple of people in there.
Not necessarily. I mean, languages go extinct all the time.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
From
yeah, no, I can see it. But I just mean like people travel and move, and you know, the world is more and more of kind of a melting pot as far as like
this story has kind of a code
there.
Smell on it, which I like becoming extinct. I'm figuring is not the phrase that the American Physical Society would have used.
Right. This article it feels a little funny as far as science. It's a little wishy-washy.
Well, scientific journalism is always a little
on the wishy-washy
like,
side.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by code smell. I think this is somebody trying to sensationalize something because it's about religion.
Exactly. Well,
if you go to these countries, I'm sure that the populations are vastly less religious than other countries. Like,
right.
You know,
well,
definitely.
Australia is surprising considering some of the stuff we've heard about Australia, I suppose. A little bit, but then
Czech Republic
isn't a surprise.
No.
Finland isn't a surprise.
New Zealand, Switzerland, these are not surprises at all.
Canada gives me hope.
Yeah, I know.
It's
like
they're
so
close.
Right.
You're like 2 hours away from us.
It's a place to go.
Like,
right. If we ever need to escape.
But yeah. I wouldn't mind hearing from somebody if there's somebody who's in the American Physical Society. But I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
That sounds a little strange. But
it's in Dallas.
It's in Dallas. Who might be able to like explain what's actually going on? It's like it sounds like they've got this interesting mathematical model using nonlinear dynamics, and they applied it to a few things, and just to catch some attention at the convention, they used it to model religious data and came up with some interesting responses. And then the science beat reporter who got assigned to it was like, oh. Yeah, I'll get some attention with this.
Yeah, and there is a little blurb in there about languages, too. Languages
right.
that are falling into disuse. And yeah, I mean, that happens all the time. But
I do wonder.
What?
Well, no, just with the journalism stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I know a little, I know a tiny bit more about journalism than I do, say, mathematics. And I would, if I, I'm putting myself in that situation, I'm like, oh boy, a mathematics convention. I don't. Oh my god, I'm talking about religion. Oh, this is gonna be great. Yeah! You know, and I imagine that might be how it went.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Either way, though, here's your list of places that you can go that are safe.
Never thought Ireland would be on that.
Yeah,
list.
That is a surprise
strange.
There. But I guess after all of the years of religious strife that they've had, it sort of makes sense that people are like, I'm done. I'm sick of this.
Look, I just want a beer and to chill.
Hey, now. Not every Irish.
No.
Well, not that you could tell from me.
No, I just saw your... No, I meant atheist.
Okay.
I saw your button.
This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to a break. When we come back, we're going to tackle some email.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must
0. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEX Radio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. And I'd like to thank Phil Kent from Brisbane, who said, I thought it was about time you had a donation from actual Kent. Yes, you may use my full name. Phil Kent, Secretary of Brisbane Skeptic Society. P.S. Come to Brisbane and I will buy you some beers. Challenge accepted.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yes. thank you for giving to Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is the challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist by Peggy from Kent Local.
We often have Richard from Kent.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Now we have local Kent, Kent Actual, and Actual Kent. Indeed. Yes, it's
That's not confusing at all.
Every dollar you give us goes directly to keeping the lights on. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side, take you directly to our PayPal page. We are getting many requests for Patreon. It is coming. I am working on it.
Woohoo!
Let's see. What else? Oh, no, that was it. Okay, so email. Here's a fun one. This is Greg from Richland, Washington, who writes, so the nerd community has probably flooded you with mail about Roman decimation, but it was a bit worse and a bit better than you mentioned. The Romans wouldn't decimate troops for anything but serious offenses, such as fleeing the field of battle or supporting the wrong person vying for the position of emperor, but when they did, the squad mates would have to choose who died and then perform the task themselves by beating them to death with stones. On the bright side, it didn't happen often, and it was better than some alternative punishments used in more serious situations. 98%. I think that's absolutely correct, but I do believe decimation was used by some weird military emperors during some of the more strange times in the Roman Empire. But then again, not really a history guy. I just read a lot.
Well, it's better than me. I have no idea what this is about.
Right. I'm also like mouth open.
Well, we were talking about what decimation actually is, reducing by 10%, mm-hmm. and how that comes from Roman military punishment killing 10%. Yeah. Or that episode of Doctor Who, you might remember. Anyway, moving on. This is Randy from Fredericksburg, Virginia, who writes, I found your story on the church who is in court fighting for public funding for the playground alarming on several levels. Despite their claim that the playground will be open to the public, in the end, it will still be on church property. What will stop them from proselytizing to the children who choose to play there, or worse yet, banning girls or their mothers from wearing yoga pants? But of even greater concern, in my opinion, is what could happen further in the future. What will prevent them from building a fence if they claim to have a problem with vandalism, or if they simply do not approve of the type of families who frequent the playground? This is dangerous territory. Public funds should not be used to construct anything that is not on public property, where it can be controlled, regulated, and most importantly, guaranteed for use by the community who paid for it. So you definitely wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when I heard the story originally, I had the exact same concerns. Like we cannot use public funding for religious organizations. Like it it doesn't make sense for those exact same reasons. I was actually, when I was a religious person and I was working in an evangelical Christian theater, I had every right to be at this playground on church grounds. But, you know, I was a teenager. The play that I was doing, I had, you know, dyed black hair and I was wearing all black. And so I was a little goth kid for a while. Like, when a person who was in charge of the playground decided that he didn't like the look of me and kicked me out, even though I had every right to be there. So what is to say that, you know, this public playground isn't going to have
public.
They're going to have the exact same things just based on, you know, gut instinct or and knee-jerk reaction from the people who run the church,
right? Like, it's really funny, I had a different reaction to this just because I take my son, I have a four-year-old, so I take him to church playgrounds all the time and nobody's ever said anything to me, but I'm a mom taking a four-year-old. That's not just the general public, where the general public is everybody, of them, all the time, always everybody, unless they have like some curfew on the time in which it closes for everyone. This is definitely something where I can see it coming into play. I'm a little amused that it's or worse yet, mothers in their yoga pants, because that's way worse than proselytizing to children.
Yeah, telling people what they can wear to the park, is a thing.
I can see,
and that's also a callback to a bunch of stories we've done on yoga pants on the show. Where people were basically saying exactly that.
I can see once you deviate from what they think the use of the playground is for, then they think that they can have some opinion on that in public. Public means public.
Exactly.
So interestingly enough, one of the schools that Becky has worked at in her career did not have any gym facilities and would ship all the kids down literally down the street to the Y, to the YMCA. But they're not really the YMCA anymore.
They're just the Y now.
Yeah. Okay. But at the, and I guess that may have blinded me a little bit to this, because like in the show I said, well, and this is what contract law is for. If you discriminate at all, we get your land.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is you're allowed to work, you know, like entities are allowed to work with the government, but there are contracts that must be fulfilled. This is what, you know, and if you violate those contracts, there are penalties.
But
now we live in a world that has a lot of get-out clauses for religion, and so I could see exactly what he's describing happening.
Absolutely.
So I tried to be, because it seems like, oh, they're giving money to a church, that is automatically bad. And yeah, it is automatically bad, but the government giving money to churches, that is bad.
Yeah.
But I try not to be, I try to avoid being doctrinaire. I try to avoid falling into a dogmatic approach. So I try to see, sometimes I do try to see places where things that I don't necessarily agree with might work in a way that benefits everybody. And this is one of those times where I think I tried to do that and utterly failed.
Well, even if it's not the church leadership, if some member of the congregation is like, this is our church's land, and they think that they can impose, like if they had a same-sex couple that was there and they were showing affection or something, would they think that it was their place because it was their church's land?
Exactly.
It could easily get confused.
It might not even be like church elders or the people who sign the contract that are making these decisions to discriminate. It might just be church members.
But it would require
the
church leadership in order to enforce that discrimination. Otherwise, it's just people coming up and yelling at you.
Well, yeah, but
they might feel like they have a right because it's their church's land. People own their church. They pay to build it.
Wow, you really should tell that to a lot of clergy out there who do not feel that way.
Oh,
I think you got a point.
I remember being a part of a church, and you feel like you're a part of it. It's a part of you. You take care of it. You go. A lot of people volunteer their time to take care of the grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they take turns on who's filling the soap bottles in the restrooms. I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing that you're a part of.
This is what happens every time there's. This is just the minutia of running a property for your community. I imagine people who have humanist centers, you know, face the same things. Simple enough. If you want to discriminate, Don't work with the government?
Yeah.
That's not exactly a slogan I would put on a t-shirt.
I would put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
Yeah, no, put it on a bumper sticker.
Yeah, right.
If you want to work... Yes. If you want to discriminate, do not work with the government. That would... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd vote for that.
That'll fit on a bumper sticker, sure.
All right. So next email comes to us from Sean from the internets, who writes, the conversation on the recent episode about the long drive to a Planned Parenthood. Is there a way to find a secular and safe families that are somewhere around the midpoint of the drive that would lend a couch and a parking spot for a night? If I was located in that area, I would lend a safe couch and a meal. So you actually know of some organizations that do exactly
this. The answer to this is yes. There are organizations that you can look up. There are two that we have written down here, and it's Northwest Abortion Access Network. You can go ahead and Google that, or CAIRE, spelled C-A-I-R. Those are the two. So Northwest Abortion Access Network and CAIRE, C-A-I-R.
We did get a lot of comments about that one. A lot of people, you know, saying, you know, that's a good idea, or such organizations do exist. And I think once I get the interview situation sorted, we'll probably be having some of those people on to talk about it. But I don't know that they've gone to the extent of providing drivers yet. And as always, I'm worried, you know, as I was talking with Dan, I'm a little bit worried about security there.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if I volunteer to be a driver, which I very well would because I like driving and this problem annoys me. And I got through the process, I'd be a little bit concerned.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of people who do this absolutely understanding that there is a reason to be concerned. Like, I know there are people from Pikes Peak Atheists who, after the shooting in Colorado Springs, were volunteering to go to the local and escort people who were going into the Planned Parenthood there, understanding that there's a bodily risk. And, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it sucks that that's the world that we live in. But yeah, people do need to have that kind of escort.
Everybody needs to make a decision one way or the other at some point in their life. You know, these are things worth dying for. and this is a thing worth dying for. I mean, the right for women to choose what happens to their body is absolutely something that people have fought and died for centuries now.
Yeah.
And it's still going on.
And it's a choice that you make for yourself. Like, yeah. I definitely couldn't do this because I have a child. So I have to think, can I go die today? you know, and it's an answer that I have to go with no. But you know what? I have so much respect.
I'm always, as someone who's known as a bit of a rabble-rouser now and again, and someone who tries to avoid dogma, I always get a little concerned when phrases like, are you willing to die for this, come up. And
it's
I don't
scary.
Know, it's frightening, not because of the personal annihilation involved, but because of what that could mean. You know, we're not doing this because dogma tells us to. We're doing this because because people want to control themselves and control over themselves.
And I think the statistical likelihood of death occurring is very low.
Yeah.
And usually it's just the higher chances that you might get yelled at by an idiot. You know.
Well, the thing is that people have died for this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that is a question.
Well, no.
Yeah.
But that is the question that you have to...
That's part of
exactly.
the problem. Yeah. There's a statistic on it that's higher than just staying at your house.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now I want to quote Stargate SG-1. Anyway, but that's just my coping mechanism kicking in.
Yeah.
But I would absolutely... I would absolutely do the driving thing if I had to. There's a Tacoma Clinic Defense here in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
The Planned Parenthood for Tacoma is within a short walk of where we're recording right now. And
I've wanted to go hold a sign there. Yeah. I feel like I could roll the dice.
Tacoma Clinic Defense are the people you want to talk
that.
To.
I saw that.
And
had something this past weekend on Saturday.
They did.
Mm-hmm. They have something almost every weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we also have to be careful about the kind of the help we offer. And this is something that I think you are very suited to talking about. Is talk to the Tacoma Clinic Defense things, folks. We've offered some help to Planned Parenthood, say, you know, we can do this, we can do that, we can provide it. you know, if we need to talk about background searches, that is something we can, you know, that's a discussion we can have. And they said, we don't want any of that. We would like to avoid this if we can.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, that pretty much ends it.
One of the best defenses is to stay under the radar completely. So if you've got a bunch of protest or counter protesters out.
Huge sign probably didn't help.
Well.
But I, not that I blame them. I mean, I would, like, yeah. I would have a big sign. I'd have a big neon sign. Abortion plants. You know, I would, I'd flaunt it because I'm a jerk.
I think the signs that I saw that they had were very sweet and just like more loving towards the women who are going in. Like,
Of course. I'm being a little,
facetious?
Yeah.
Facetious,
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
I'm not making fun of Planned Parenthood. No. I understand that they're in an extremely delicate position and I don't want to make the situation worse by helping. Which is a thing that can happen.
Can happen, absolutely.
I working in disaster relief and recovery, I imagine that's something you've faced a few times.
You mean signs? Lots of signs of people?
No.
People trying to help and then making situations worse.
Yeah, that happened. But you know what? They need they actually need to be there because you need the hands and everything. But in this situation, it's more questionable whether or not they're actually doing anything. I did like their signs that were like, "We love and support you," and I'm like, "Oh, you know," because that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they had big old hearts on it. And I was like, "Those are really nice and supportive. I would like to see signs like that. They're like, 'We love and support you. Yay!'
Yeah,
you know, just all the time.
Just all the time. Yeah. Just have people following you.
That
all
would be
day
great. Like if I went
that.
To the grocery store, like, check plus, you
Yay.
Made it,
and you're wearing pants today. Congratulations."
Wow!
Like.
Yeah,
I could use a few of those.
Look,
words,
your
right?
child is still alive. You made it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's that. That has always. When we talk about stuff like this, like maybe it's time to assemble a driving team, or maybe it's time to figure out places. You know, to figure out routes and safe ways to get this done. The biggest problem that's always in the back of my head is it's a conversation that we should be having is if we are to help, how do we provide it? But we have to make sure that we're going where we're needed.
Yeah.
And I don't, like I said, I don't want to make the situation worse.
Definitely.
And in situations like this, people are dying for this, not because like they catch a disease, but they're being shot.
Yeah.
And that's a very volatile situation. And the angles can get the social situation get very strange, and you get people who say they work with you and may not have your best interests in mind, and it gets very dangerous. So I think it may come to the point where while we weather this current storm of idiotic politics, it may become necessary to solving it with transportation. I want to tread very slowly and very carefully and make sure I've crossed, I've crossed all my T's, dotted all my I's, and I've done it right.
Well, for some reason, whenever I read this, I was assuming that it was talking about because clinics are very far away, and so this is just like helping them mitigate the cost of travel.
I think the ideal, if you're wanting to get involved, is to contact one of these organizations, Northwest Abortion Access Network or CARE, and ask them how you can get involved rather than trying to do something on your own.
That was exactly my point. It was a story that arose a couple weeks ago now, because the narrative is these abortion clinics are so far away, and there's a lot of people who would avail themselves of these services who have no form of transportation,
right?
Or who are, are somehow financially disadvantaged.
Yeah,
and
the idea of getting back home after the procedure, you can't drive yourself after that.
Exactly, like. and that was the concern that we were raising in that show, and that's what these folks have been responding to. And so I'm very careful saying, like, I think that may be a service that may be necessary at some point, but it would have to be done with extreme care.
Yes, with extreme care through an appropriate organization who already does that and has the approval and the background checks and all that.
Right.
Rather than trying to be, you know, a pioneer in that and trying to do it on your own.
Well, it's doing it on your own, yeah, because...
Yeah.
Oh, boy, this the issues that I can just foresee.
Yeah, exactly.
I could really set myself off by going into those. But that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam. Thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Becca.
You're welcome.
You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can Twitter us at askanatheistwa. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. You can, send us code, whatever you like.
Send us lots of love.
Yes.
All the love on the less than 3 day.
Yay. Less than 3 day.